is your home of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.
Find the trailer shot. Score!
Listening to The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McElligan. This is your inside perspective on the NHL, players, the Blue Jackets, and more.
Brought to you by Nationwide, AEP, and Ohio Health. March with us.
Here's former Jacket Jody Shelley and the voice of the Jackets, Bob McElligan.
Good evening and welcome to the Inside Edge. Blue Jackets coming off a two-game road trip where they picked up a victory in Boston against the Bruins on Monday night, and last night they fell in a shootout to the Detroit Red Wings at Joe Louis Arena. I'm Bob McElligan. Welcome back to the show this week, Jody Shelley.
Thank you, Bob.
Rejoins me, and as I said, we just went on that two-game trip, Jody. And for the Blue Jackets, to me it was a real test because of what happened here in the final game of the five-game homestand against the Buffalo Sabres. The Blue Jackets got shut out on Friday night. They were riding high. They had picked up points in all four games, the first four games of the homestand. All of a sudden, they get blanked by the Buffalo Sabres, and they had one of two choices going into Boston. You either fix it and put the train back on the track, or you let it fester a little bit. And I was really glad to see them do what they did to the Boston Bruins, put up six goals on them, beat them 6-4, and it really set the tone, didn't it?
It did, and it's interesting when you play in those situations. You know, you try to pick yourself up on the road. It's what do you get? And I think that you said it. The Blue Jackets did an excellent job, played a sound game. I thought the second period, the way it started with Brandon Dubinsky putting Patrice Bergeron on his back just right off the faceoff, kind of established an attitude of we're here and we're going to try to be physical, impose our physical will on the Bruins that night. Awesome game by the Columbus Blue Jackets. And then they go into Detroit last night, and it's always fun talking to people after the game that the Blue Jackets players and coaches go against. And Tony Granato, assistant coach for the Detroit Red Wings, he said, "Your physical play, your relentless ability," he said, it was nonstop. You guys have a great team. You're hard to play against. And those are the conversations you recall last year that we had, and the year before in the Pittsburgh Penguins series going into that playoff. When you clinch the playoffs, nobody wanted to play the Columbus Blue Jackets, and it was because of that style. So it sounds like they're getting back to that style. I'm not sure why it's taken so long to put a string together, and I think that homestand helped, but I think going on the road and being the imposter in Boston, I think that really helped them.
I have an answer for you as to why it's taken so long, and the only reason I do is because I interviewed Dalton Prout before the game yesterday, and he was talking about, "We're finally getting some consistency. We're starting to put things together. We feel good about our game." And I said to him, a question that a fan would ask is, if you're feeling like that right now, what took you so long? And I thought he had a really good answer, which was, and we forget about this, we've touched on it from time to time, his answer was, we are a really young team. And remember, they did change. They changed some very important pieces during the offseason last year when Mark Letestu and Artem Anisimov both left. Both very smart defending centermen. They left. You get Brandon Saad, great trade, don't get me wrong, but now you're replacing pieces and you're trying to figure out, you're putting Alexander Wenberg into a bigger role. Young guy, second year in the league, much bigger role he's got to handle with Artem Anisimov being gone. Gregory Campbell comes in on the fourth line. Then you trade Ryan Johansson throughout the course of the season. You bring in Seth Jones. He's adjusting to a new team. So I thought it was a good answer, and it was legit because they are very young, and they have changed a lot. This is not the same team that went 15-1-1 last year. A lot of the components are, but it's not identical. And every year when there are changes, you have to adjust. Sometimes it takes a lot longer than other times.
Yeah, I totally get that. I agree with the changes. I mean, I think you learn a lot in this season when you look at some of the situations. I definitely agree. I look at the first weekend, if that would have went a little different for the Blue Jackets. Where are you right now? I agree there's going to be lulls, but why did it take so long?
The other thing he said, it's almost like when you're a kid and you're growing up and your parents are telling you, you've got to do this and you've got to do it like this, because if you don't, this is going to happen, and you just don't listen, you just don't want to hear it, and you almost have to go through it and experience it and then go, ah, I see what you're talking about. And he felt that the first half of the season, maybe they were in that mode and they were hearing, but they weren't listening, and they weren't acting upon it enough.
Well, if you think about the whole situation, they really did show their age this year, I guess, because if you go back 2 years ago, Pittsburgh Penguins at home, you've got some players in this organization who realized what kind of sports town this is. And it's a moment that they still have with them. I mean, that building, they didn't know that that was possible. A lot of those young guys that were part of that first playoff series and that first playoff win at home and all that fun stuff. Then you get into last year and you have the injuries. But the way they finished the year, it was exciting. And then you step away from the game for 5 months as players. You step away. And you come in September, and everybody, TS, every big network has got your organization and your team and your pickup in Sod and the Bobrovsky starting goaltender. It's all highlighted in the top of the league. This is a team that's going to do damage in the playoffs. Look how they finish. You get a little too sweet. You feel a little too sweet about yourself. And that's age, because who steps in, and it was all of us, who steps in and says, hey, let's worry about game one. And it's amazing to look back and see that. And we're almost at the end of February, which to me is amazing. You know, like we're almost in March, and it's like, wow. And it's been one big swoop of, you know what has gone on. But there has been a lot of bright spots. I think that you brought this up the other day. Torts cannot wait to establish training camp. And the thing about that, him and his coaching staff, and I'm not sure if we talked about this on this program before or not, but I had, in Philadelphia, there was a three-part test. One was a body fat, which was, I passed that, okay? One was a on-ice skating test, which is fine. And the other one was like a stretch test. And I was like, I had anxiety about that, and that was nothing, almost zero in the test market. Now, Torts is legendary with how his testing is over 2 days, and I'll tell you one thing. The anxiety started about 2 weeks after he got here. I heard Jack Johnson and a couple of players talking about training camp. I mean, you guys are talking about training camp already? Like, he just got here. Yeah, but have you heard about his training camps? So whatever they build now and whatever they're going to go into the summer with, there will be no dip. Coming into the next season, because they have got to be well above. They're in great shape, but I'm telling you, there is another part of, if you're in July and you're thinking, yeah, I can probably go to that wedding next weekend or whatever, and no, I think I will. You know, I can't. I got this test in 3 months that I got to be ready for, and it starts to take over, and that's. I think all these things will add up, and it's amazing to look at what's gone on. But I think there's been a lot learned. And it's fun to watch right now because guys really are managing the game better. You know, and we hear Torts say that a lot. But you look at some things that happened in the game, the non-goal goal call the other night, when the goal actually counted, shouldn't have counted in Boston.
Right.
The team kind of fed up, just said, oh, forget it and let's go. And that's what the Blue Jackets were playing like when we know they've had their identity.
Yeah, you're right. And that goal came 15 seconds after they scored to open the scoring in the game. And all of a sudden, it's gone like that. And it shouldn't have counted. It still should have been 1-0. And it counted. And you're right. They shrugged it off. But rewind the clock. Go back to November. If that happens to this team in November, the post-game press conference with John Tortorella is him saying, there's no way that that should have affected the rest of our game. But it did. Am
yeah,
I right?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're bang on. But it's true, and it's funny because the team is moving in the right direction, and it's hard to see that. It's hard to see that. But it's not like we're sitting here scratching our heads saying, what do we do? Like, what is this team going to be? Where are we? There are parts of this team that, with this trade deadline coming up next on Monday, that – I don't think you can move them. I think there's a core here that you're not going to move Boone Jenner. He's the guy that you want. Anybody that is paying to watch a National Hockey League hockey game, they're pleased with that effort and what he brings every night. And his teammates feel the same way. And there's a group around him that, I mean, there's some direction here. There's good leadership in the front office. And you know, I'm always listening to the Edmonton radio stations and the Toronto media, and it's like, They're lost. There's some organizations out there that are completely lost.
You're right about that trade deadline. It's in 5 days. And I said this, I was being interviewed this morning, and I said 3 to 4 weeks ago, to me, it was very easy to look at this and say, okay, here are a couple of guys making a lot of money. They still have term on their contract. It'd be great if you can find a way to move that money so that you have more flexibility under the salary cap. 3 weeks later, I'm looking at this and saying, okay, the guys that they identified that didn't look like they were identified properly for most of the year look to be properly identified now. And in some of those cases, if you happen to move a guy, the production that he's bringing, where are you going to get that production? Like, what are you going to get from that guy? Because I don't think that you're going to be able to take a player and flip him for another player that's going to come in. You're not going to get the same player. You're going to get a draft pick. You might get a prospect player, something like that. But where are you going to get that production? And you're already a team that is, well, everybody's offensively challenged in the league, but you traded your number one centerman. So, you know, everybody's looking for goals. Do you give away a guy that's going to bring you 20-plus, right? I mean, these are legitimate questions 5 days out, wouldn't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And you don't get the number one pick and all of a sudden, I mean, Edmonton's proved that.
Yeah, they've done it repeatedly.
You can collect a bag full of drivers, but you got nothing, right?
Yeah, if you can't chip and putt, you're
out. I mean,
out.
You need a putter and a chipper, right. And you need that trusty seven iron. I mean, right. it all adds up to what you need to attack, and it's not the first round, first pick overall that writes you a long playoff run. It's you look at teams that draft well deep. Boone Jenner was a second-round pick. Brandon Saab was a second-round pick. Patrice Bergeron, one of the best players in the National Hockey League, one of the hardest working, most disciplined, was a second-round pick. So it takes a number of parts to make things work. And you're right. If you take – you can pick anyone on that defensive. If you take David Savard off the back end, there's a gaping hole. Take him and Jack Johnson off. Because I know fans and us, everyone likes the excitement around trade deadline. But teams with the most confidence in what they're doing, they're careful and they're calculated. And sometimes it's disappointing for the fans for the short term. But when camp comes around and you have those guys that can play 30 minutes and play physical, that's a gaping hole. And where are you going to get it? You can't go find it. You said it. You can't go find it. You got to wait for those guys to grow and blossom.
And that's why it's so hard to be a general manager. And I'm not giving anybody a pass. I'm looking at this. Let's go back a year. Cam Atkinson. There were a lot of rumors about him being traded a year ago, right? And we didn't know. We sat down to do a show on trade deadline day, not knowing if Cam Atkinson was staying or if he was going. And at that time, where that team was, it was, again, very easy to look and say, you know what, if you can get something decent for him, why don't you go ahead? I mean, he's kind of had an off year. Is he ever going to be a big scorer? He's a small guy. You know, maybe you find somebody else. Well, he ended up getting a contract extension on that day. He didn't get traded. And he's turned into a pretty good player. I think under John Tortorella, his game has changed. He's gotten more responsibility. He uses his quickness and his speed a lot better. And he's way more effective. So a year later, you're pretty darn glad you didn't trade that guy.
Absolutely. And teams right now sit and watch the Blue Jackets and walk out of the press box or walk away from the TV and say, wow, that Atkinson is a heck of a player. And you think about that. That's a good point. Last year, he was inconsistent. His quickness, he didn't know what he was doing, kind of spinning his wheels in some points. He had great moments, but it wasn't like every stride was that purposeful stride. Now, he knows he's been cast by Torts. Torts loves that quickness. He had Zuccarello in New York, and he kind of loves that mold of that speed, loves speed. So Atkinson's been told how he's going to play the game, and he's on. He's on the tracks, and he's effective almost every shift. And he'll have the off game, but not. You're not wondering what he's going to do each shift when he gets the puck. It's almost like you know what he's going to do, and that's why his line mates are feeding off him.
Last year, it would be 3 to 4 off games in a row. He'd appear for a game or two, and then he would disappear.
I think that's fair.
For two or three. This year, he has been consistent. I think the two biggest changes is that he's playing penalty kill and point on the power play. Lots of responsibility. If you can't handle it, move over. Somebody else will take it, and he's grabbed the bull by the horns.
Right, and if you don't do it, you've got a built-in excuse to kind of maybe drag your lip a little bit because you want to be the guy, but when you only have 5-on-5 minutes or you're limited to who you're playing with, it gets frustrating for those guys. They want those big minutes. They want those big moments. They know what they're good at. They've got a history in amateur hockey with that. So it has to be earned, but when you get it and you feel it, you can tell he's a guy, for me, that's really grown. He's grown on me because, you know, he's one of those guys. Like, is he an NHL guy that's going to be that guy in those big moments? And I love him with the puck. I think his speed is great. And on the penalty kill, I'm telling you, almost every game, he he almost picks off a pass.
Yeah. You're right. He's sizing it up, man.
Yeah.
Sizing it up. All right, we've got a lot more to talk about. And plus, a little bit later on, we're going to be joined by Craig Hartsburg, who is a Blue Jackets associate coach, who also, by the way, just went back to Minnesota to play in a really big alumni game, the Minnesota North Stars against the Chicago Blackhawks. That was an outdoor game they played last weekend. We'll talk to him about that experience as we continue on the Inside Edge on 97.1 The Fan. In the unlikely event you were dozing off after a long day of work, that song will wake you right back up. Right, Jody? Wake up.
Oh, yeah.
Wake up.
Yeah. Is my mic on? Yeah,
yes,
I'm up.
You're good. Blue Jackets back in action tomorrow night. They'll take on the New Jersey Devils at Nationwide Arena coming up. In just a bit, we'll have Craig Hartsburg, associate coach for the Blue Jackets, on with us, talking about not only this team, but about his experience last weekend and playing outdoors in Minnesota for the Minnesota Wild / North Stars alumni game. Let's pick up where we left off in the last segment. We were talking about guys. We were talking about the positive things, and it is very fair to talk about the positives. There's a lot more right now. But early in the show, you mentioned Brandon Dubinsky and the hit that he put on Patrice Bergeron in Boston on Monday night. Right now, with this team not having your prototypical number one centerman, Brandon Dubinsky is in that role, and I happen to love it. When I look out and see him facing off against Bergeron, when I see him last night out there almost every single time against Pavel Datsyuk, we've seen him against Crosby, he just thrives and excels in those situations. And even the nights when he's not getting points, he's doing something, and that's really the key, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's the key because the compliment is that Datsyuk, especially last night, was getting frustrated with him. He was really taking it to him in the faceoff circle. And they were working to keep him away from Dubinsky. So that tells you how effective he is in that role. And as a player, and I guess in anyone that has any kind of position, when your role is defined, and especially in pro sports, and especially the centerman, when your role is defined to a T, that this is what you're going to do, shut this guy down, win the faceoff, agitate him. Like, I love these guys. Him and Hartnell playing against the Pittsburgh Penguins. They know what to do with Malkin and Crosby. And that is so effective, and you're right. It, and then you add what he is doing. So he has to worry about his job on that line. Boone Jenner is doing an excellent job, and I think the way Boone plays takes a little bit of Dubinsky's game. It helps him define his game more in the middle of the ice. So Dubinsky doesn't have to be the guy in the forecheck and the guy doing everything else and the guy out muscling. He's got the middle of the rink and then the support position. And then you put Atkinson's speed over in the other wing, and those guys have a confidence in what they're doing. And I think that it's the confidence from the coach, the chemistry that they have, and the defined responsibilities of all three of those guys. And that is why that line is a top line.
Just the other day I saw an article, and you probably saw the same one, where it started with Mike Babcock, the Maple Leafs head coach, talking about the lack of scoring in the league. And everybody's got a different weight, bigger nets, smaller goalie equipment, whatever. Everybody's got their own theories. Brian Burke wants to make the ice surface wider. He wants to go to European size ice, which...
Yeah, make it 10 times bigger. I mean, yeah. It makes no difference.
Well, it makes a lot of difference. You're going to have to take out 2 to 4 rows of seats to do it. That makes a really big financial
difference.
But
everybody's going to be standing in front of the net.
Right, exactly. So anyway, but my whole point is, in that article, I saw there was a quote from Ray Shiro, who's the general manager of the New Jersey Devils, and he said... basically, this is not the 1980s where a guy's going to drive down the wing and come in and shoot the puck right into the net anymore. The goalies are too good. Boone Jenner did it last night.
That's right.
And that popped into my head the minute it happened. First of all, he undressed Marchenko, the defenseman, as if he wasn't even there. The guy was there, and I thought, well, it's nice that Boone's pushing that up there. He's not going to be able to – oh, there he goes. and he takes that shot from the faceoff dot. And for him, he's got a career-high 22 goals this year. He's going to have over 25, I think. What a year, and a breakout year for him. And he starts to establish himself now as not just a young leader on this team, but really he's emerging into just the plain old leader, isn't he?
Absolutely. And the way he plays, how can you sit on the bench and not get fired up? If you're the next guy to go over the boards on that left wing position following Boone Jenner, or if you're any guy coming out the line, how can you not carry the weight of what he's carrying? You know what I mean? Like, he's out there, and as soon – I think his legs are moving before his feet hit the ice, actually. His legs are pumping. And it's battle, heavy sticks. It's hard to push him off pucks. It's second, third effort right until he gets back to the bench. And he's getting rewarded for hard work. And, you know, his line mates said earlier, Dubinsky and Atkinson were getting a few points there. I think it was four or five games in a row where they were lighting things up on the score sheet. And their first acknowledgement was, hey, Boone is not getting rewarded on the score sheet right now. It was like a little lull. But
yeah, he'd gone five games in a row with no goals.
But his work is like, they know, they're so appreciative of what he does. And you're 100% right. It's established a lot of his game. And that's what young guys, that's what's expected in organizations for young guys to do every year. If the Blue Jackets are going to take another step next year, well, Wemberg can't come back and be what he was last year or this year. He's got to be better in all categories. You know, he's playing very well. He's smart. But everyone needs to take a step. Boone needs to take another step next year. And all these young guys, you don't come into the new season trying to be hoping guys are what they were last year. You're hoping they're taking a full step, especially when they're under the age of 27. You know, you need to establish yourself every year. And Boone's a guy, I don't think you need to worry about him plateauing or getting cozy because he's got a lot to prove, and he's a guy that will prove it any single night.
Before the game last night, John Tortorella, he was talking with Brian Boucher, who was on with us just a couple of weeks ago.
That's right.
He was doing the game last night
for NBC.
Yeah, right. We got him from this show to NBC Sportsnet to cover the Blue Jackets in 2 weeks.
That's right.
But I heard John Tortorella tell him, when talking about Boone Jenner, one of the most coachable players I've ever had. And that's a compliment, big time.
That's the only compliment you want, I think. Do you know what I mean? That's a compliment you want your son to have, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or your daughter. Coachable. That means you're willing to do whatever you got to do for the team, and you're willing to learn and sacrifice and pay the price, and that's what he does. And, I'm excited about Boone. It's so great he's got 22 goals or whatever he's got in the year. And, you know, he just scores a goal and goes to the bench. That one off the toe the other night in Boston, his celebration was great because he was in pain, but all his teammates were coming in, and he had to give him a quick hug. Then he bolted to try to walk off that stinger on the end of his toe.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier, he was a second-round pick. And this organization, let's be honest about it, went for a long time without having a second-round pick that amounted to anything worth talking about. And really the reason Boone got so much attention as being a second-round pick is, remember the year that he was picked, he was the first draft pick.
That's right.
Because the first-round pick had been traded to acquire Jeff Carter from the Philadelphia Flyers. So he was the first guy picked that year. So that kind of put him in a little bit of a limelight here. But, man, he's earned it. He's playing into that limelight now. He deserves to be there the way he's playing this year. And I agree with you 100%. That's not a guy you're going to have to worry about from this year
that's
to next
guy,
year to the next year.
That's a guy you want your young guys around. Mm-hmm. You want Wemberg to be hanging out with and Ryan Murray to be hanging out with that guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. He's got 3 goals in the last 2 games and hopefully can stay hot tomorrow night against the New Jersey Devils.
You know, it's interesting. We had a conversation remember what the weather was when we were getting on the plane to go to Boston?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
I mean, it's that playoff weather. It's going to drop down again tonight. It's getting cold. Today was nice for parts of it, but it gives you that feeling when you're traveling or when you're going to the rink and the sun is out, and I just had that playoff feel. Now teams are starting to talk about playoffs. You see the Washington Capitals, I mean, they're a point or two from clinching a playoff spot. It's such a great time of year, and it's one of those things that these players now, there's going to be a lot of envy on the Blue Jackets and what's going on. But I mentioned to you when we were getting that plane, doesn't it feel like playoff season?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tease. We'll probably get a storm or two again.
Right.
But it's coming, and boy, and in the near future, it'll be nice to be a part of a nice playoff run, you know, after you get past Easter, and then it's like, okay, boys.
Yeah, getting out of the car without having to put on a coat, just wearing your suit coat in, eventually you get to where you carry the suit coat because it's so warm. That's when you want to still be working.
Exactly.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Craig Hartsburg, Blue Jackets associate coach, who just played for the Minnesota Wild /North Stars alumni team in an outdoor game against the Blackhawks alumni last weekend. We'll talk with him all about that next as the Inside Edge continues on 97.1 The Fan. Joined by Jody Shelley, Blue Jackets back on the ice tomorrow night at Nationwide Arena when they take on the New Jersey Devils, and then they'll play on Saturday afternoon. That'll be a 3 o'clock game on Saturday. when they take on the Florida Panthers. First 15,000 fans get a Blue Jackets T-shirt courtesy of Fox Sports Ohio. How about that?
Awesome.
Well, did you shut that back off?
I did. Sorry. That is great. 3 o'clock games are so fun. And when you bring your family down, you go to dinner after. Just makes for a perfect Saturday.
Yeah, so 7 o'clock tomorrow night, 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Right now we're joined by Craig Hartsburg, who is associate coach of the Blue Jackets. He actually has had to step in and be the head coach for a couple of games this year. But last weekend, he was back in his element. He was in Minnesota. He was on the ice. He was playing for the Minnesota Wild / North Stars alumni team against the alumni team of the Chicago Blackhawks, an outdoor game. And Craig, how much fun was that for you to get back out there and play that game?
Oh, it was awesome. Really hard to describe, put it in words, really. It was an amazing experience. And at the same time, very emotional in a good way for all of us old guys and our families to get together again after so many years. And to actually have 40,000 people come and watch those old guys play, it was an amazing night.
Well, of course, the North Stars were such a big part of your life. I mean, you started there in the 79-80 season, played there all the way through the 1988-1989 season. Some great teams and some great teammates. And how good was it to see all those familiar faces back?
Well, it was great. You lose track of people when everybody moves on after their careers. And to see guys you haven't seen for probably over 20 years and their families as well. It was like my wife had an amazing time. It was a great time for all of us and to see them, but also the fans and people that were around the game when we were there, the media people that are still involved. It was a great experience and, one of the highlights of my career for sure.
Hartsy, those outdoor games are spectacles. And were you impressed with, I guess, how it was hosted, but how the NHL gets behind every player and their family and make sure that you have the greatest time while you're there for that weekend?
Well, they do an unbelievable job. And the NHL obviously does a great job organizing, but I thought the Minnesota Wild did an outstanding job of coordinating the events with, the Wild and the North Star alumni. And they certainly could have just used the alumni, or the Wild alumni, and they included us in it, and we're real thankful for it. They did a great job to help us feel so welcome. And like I said, it's hard to put the experience into words, and something I'll never forget.
Something you just said right there, Craig, was about they could have just used the Wild alumni. Being a part of that Minnesota North Stars team, and that's a franchise that eventually moved on to Dallas to become the Dallas Stars. Up until maybe last weekend, do you sometimes feel like a guy without a team because of that move?
Well, I think the North Star alumni were very disappointed, obviously, when it left, and especially guys that had retired as North Stars. It was, for us, it was a special place. It was a great place to play. The people of Minnesota were outstanding hockey people. And when it left, we were sad. And then certainly we were very happy when the Wild came back. And then this weekend, again, the Wild including us in the alumni game was great. And again, it was brought back so many memories for all of us that were involved as players with the North Stars.
I got to ask, Craig, because I watched you train for this, and it's been months, and you were religious out there on the ice with the pregame skate. How are the legs and how are the lungs?
You know what? I felt pretty good on the ice, actually, and there were some guys that hadn't been on ice for a long time, and very thankful that I did. And as the game went on, it got more serious, and because we obviously wanted to win, and obviously Chicago did, and they started playing more younger guys. And it was funny, Brad Maxwell and I, Brad's 2 years older than I am, so he'd be 58 or 59, turning 59, I'm turning 57 this summer, and we had the task of having to play against JR and Eric Dazé, who are at least 20 years younger than us, but I'm thankful that I did get on the ice, and thankful that had you guys to push me around a little bit before we got there.
Well, two guys you could definitely outsmart. I'd have seen you out there. You're crafty with that puck. I saw some pictures. You were the captain of that team. I knew you wanted to get the win, and all I saw was smiles in every single picture. I did see one of a fight. Looked like Dino Cicerelli went after Denny Savard. That's kind of fun.
It was a mock fight, and they did fight. Actually, it was funny. We were sitting on the bus going to Tom Reed's bar on a Friday night, where both teams and families had to get together the night Tom Reed has a sports bar. Anyways, Dino and Savvy actually sat beside each other, and Dino pulled out his phone, and he had the picture from the 80s where the two of them were kind of squared off. There was a bench-clearing brawl, and they were just laughing. We were all laughing, actually. The night we spent a lot of time with our own teams, but also with the Chicago players, and laughing about the crazy things we used to do to each other. And it was a great time. And there was the game started as a lot of fun, but you know what? In the third period, it did get somewhat serious, where both teams wanted to win, and we were pretty proud at the end that we did come out with the 2 points for the fans of Minnesota.
I saw Mickey Redman last night in the box in Detroit, and he told me a moment. He said, "I tell these young guys now stories, and they look at me like I have five heads." I'm sure some of those stories you guys were telling, nobody would believe.
Well, there's anything from warm up to between whistles. There was no TV timeouts, so it was like there was chaos on ice when two teams hated each other, and playoff time was just so intense from where you would stay in Chicago, the people hanging around the hotel, just bad mouthing you on the way to your bus. It was an amazing time, and it was fun to get together with your own team, but it was certainly fun to be with the Chicago guys, because we hated each other, but as years have gone on, there was a great deal of respect. There was a lot of great players on both teams that look back and saying that, you know what, we battled each other, and now it's we've moved on in our lives, but we respect what each side was trying to do.
Talking with Craig Hartsburg, Blue Jackets associate coach, and you mentioned earlier you played that game in front of almost 38,000 people. That's way bigger than any NHL arena right now. Was there a sense of nerves for you? Did it bring back some feelings of being a young guy getting into the NHL for the first time?
Well, the whole day for me, I was nervous, and I was, you know, I had family there, my daughter and her husband, and my wife was there, and her sister, and lots of friends from Minnesota were on hand. And it was like, as it started to get closer to getting time to go over to the stadium, there was people all over the place around the hotel with North Star jerseys on. It started to feel like a real game, and I hadn't played a game since 1989, so I started to get nervous. And it was once we got to the rink to the stadium together, it was a lot of fun in the room, and but we were excited to get out, and we walked out of that tunnel. It was an amazing, it's hard to describe for us old guys, seeing 38,000 people standing cheering us. It was a pretty emotional night for all of us.
Well, you had to miss the game against Buffalo to go do that, and I got to tell you, you picked the perfect game to miss, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't want to miss it. Nah. Actually, I know when talking with Torts and stuff, and I'm really thankful for him to, you know, say that you're going and you're going to be part of the whole thing. It was really thankful for him and the organization to allow me to go. And I know we didn't play our greatest, but it sounded like we also didn't get many bounces that night as well.
No, and it's funny you say about John Tortorella, because he went out of his way to tell us that he told you to go even earlier than you went to Minnesota so that you could soak in that entire experience.
No, he was great. I like to say the organization was great, but Torts certainly, he wanted me to be part of it, and I'm very thankful that I was.
Before we let you go, I got to ask you about your current group here. You just come off the two-game trip where you pick up three of a possible 4 points. Jody and I were talking earlier in the show and trying to figure out probably what you guys have been trying to figure out all year. Does your team finally have its identity? Are they finally coming into their own?
you know what? It's been a frustrating, tough year. You can use lots of words to describe it, but we've been in this point before in the last 3-4 years where bad starts and strong finishes. But I sense a real different feeling around this group than I have in the past couple of years, especially last year. This is a group that the young players are finally taking over the team, and I look at our defense with Ryan Murray and Seth Jones that have stepped up, and I sense this is a group that's going to continue what we're doing through the end, and then during the summer, there'll be a huge commitment by them to say that this is not going to happen again. And I know people say, well, we've heard that before, but I've been through the last 4 years with this group, and I sense a total different attitude, the compete level, we've won games in the past at the end of the year where maybe we just got through it. This group seems determined to put their mark on every game so far, especially through this stretch, and it's going to continue through the rest of the year is what I see.
Well, Craig, we thank you so much for taking a couple of minutes to talk to us tonight. Glad that you went and glad you enjoyed every minute of your weekend in Minnesota, and it couldn't happen to a better guy, buddy. So thank you very much, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you very much, and if we could ever get an outdoor game here in Columbus, the people would just go crazy. It's an amazing experience, not only for the players on the ice, but for the fans in the stands. It was a great experience and something they'll never forget as well.
The only problem is if you had an outdoor practice, Torch would have to skip it.
Well, we'd have him stand on the bench with a flak jacket on.
No, that would be awesome.
All right. Thank you very much, Craig.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Craig Hartsburg, associate coach of the Blue Jackets. What a special weekend it was for him. You could hear it in his voice.
Oh, you could.
He's a soft-spoken guy. He's a man of not very many words, but he had a lot to say about that experience. That's great.
Awesome. He appreciated it all the whole way, and you could tell he's got something he's really proud of and thankful that he got to do it. And, boy, it's such a great thing to hear.
All right. We're going to wrap up the show next. Trade deadline day is 5 days from today. What's it like to get traded? What's it like to know that you could? Know that you're going to? I know a guy I can ask about that next as the Inside Edge continues on 97.1 The Fan. This is the Inside Edge heading down the stretch. Blue Jackets back at home tomorrow night. They'll take on the New Jersey Devils Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock start against the Florida Panthers. First 15,000 fans that come through the gates to that game get a T-shirt courtesy of Fox Sports Ohio. Monday we'll be in New York. It is February 29th. Oh, yes, leap year. February 29th. We're in New York. That is trade deadline day this year. Jody, you've been there. You've been that guy that's gotten dealt or the guy that's thought he's going to or was told he was going to. What is the feeling for a lot of guys in this league right now that just aren't sure where they're going to be come Tuesday morning?
Well, the guys that you hear about, the Andrew Ladds, the guys that are Dale Weiss for the Montreal Canadiens, It's a difficult time because you go to the rink. I mean, you're playing a sport. You're in a job in a position that's in the public eye, obviously. But you have family, you have friends, you have agents, and your phone. Now you have. I mean, you're always looking at your phone. You're always looking for an update. You're reading the rumors. When anyone tells you they're not, they are. Everything is in play. You know, your agent calls, you hold your breath, your wife holds her breath, she's ready to drop the frying pan. It's just, you're waiting for the ball to drop. And then the closer you get, I'm sure these guys hear scenario after scenario after scenario every single day. So it's like, oh, I hear L.A. I'm hearing L.A., Boston, and Montreal. Oh, you know, like, let's look at Atkinson last year. We talked about him earlier. His name was in rumors. So how excited was his dad who lives in Connecticut that he might be going to the New York Rangers? You don't want to answer that call. I'm a Columbus Blue Jacket player. So when I was in San Jose, when I was in Columbus and got traded, I had no idea. I don't know if I was naive. I had the blinders on, but it hit me like a punch in the stomach. I had no clue what was coming until the words came out of Scott Housen's mouth. And I was like, even then when he said it, I was like, are you serious? I couldn't believe it. But in San Jose, I knew it was coming. They wanted to give me an opportunity is the way they put it to me. And they did. And it was down to the end for me, it was New York or Florida. And, you know, I call my wife and we're talking and she's like, well, whatever you think. My wife's amazing. She's like, wherever you want to go, you know. And but at the end of the day, I don't even know if I really had a decision. But leading up to that point, I mean, you go to bed looking at your phone, you wake up looking at your phone, and the hard part is going to the arena and getting on the plane with your teammates. And I had some teammates that avoided the conversation like it wasn't even happening. And I learned that that's not the best way to handle something. I appreciated the guys that spoke to me and asked me questions, not the guys that pretended it wasn't happening. I learned a lot about, you know, some teammates and friendships there. But it's stressful, and it's not easy because your world's going to be turned upside down, and you're not sure what that means or where you fit in or where you're going.
And just think about those guys. Like you mentioned, Andrew Ladd, he could be a rental player. So you're going to go somewhere, and then in a couple of months, you're potentially going somewhere else too. And you were in that situation with the Rangers. You didn't know if you're going to stay there. You wound up going to Philadelphia. So that was a couple of shifts in a short period of time.
Well, you got a short period of window to well, in my case. So you got to think about those guys will be fine. Andrew Ladd is headed for a contract, a big contract. So that scenario is different, but you take a step down. There's a lot of players that are going to be dealt, and there's a lot have been dealt recently already that, you know, what's going to happen? Like, you don't know. You're on audition again, and you're in a new organization. You're completely trying to show yourself off. You want to fit in. You want to make an impact. But at the same time, when you get somewhere, it's very exciting. I mean, I was with the Rangers. We were in a bit of a playoff race. We didn't get in, but there's just sometimes it's really refreshing.
So a lot of guys are going to be feeling that way for the next 4 to 5 days. Trade deadline is coming up on Monday at 3 o'clock. We're going to have a show for you coming from Madison Square Garden. We'll get that information. You can find it at BlueJackets.com. Everything will be there on your Blue Jackets app. As we get closer, a couple of days out is where we are right now. Tomorrow, the New Jersey Devils are going to be here to take on the Blue Jackets. That game is at 7 o'clock at Nationwide Arena. And again, don't forget, Saturday, afternoon game, 3 o'clock against the Florida Panthers. That'll do it for our show tonight. For Jody Shelley, I'm Bob McElligott. Thanks for listening to The Inside Edge on 97.1 The Fan.
This has been The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGillicuddy.
And I got two words for you. Game over.
Brought to you by Nationwide, AEP, and Ohio Health. March with us.
On your flagship station for the Columbus Blue Jackets, Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.